We're going to spend about a half an hour together unpacking the issue of suffering. And clearly this is an area that needs more time to be dealt with. So bear with me as we spend just a little bit of time going through what is perhaps one of the most perplexing areas, the existence of evil and suffering in our world. If you're a person who's not a Christian or you're just visiting, this may seem like a bit of a Debbie Downer kind of thing to discuss. Let me tell you that there is great hope, and that there is great joy, and that there is great victory. But it comes in the midst of suffering that we have to engage with together. So we're going to try and explore some of these issues today, and hopefully my main goal is for you people of faith, for those of you people you know who are grappling with the area of suffering as a stumbling block to coming to faith, saying kind of what Mark said, with all this suffering, God either doesn't care or he's not powerful. So these ideas of suffering don't become a stumbling block to your faith. That is our main goal this morning. Why do we have all this evil and suffering? There's going to be four points that I'm really going to concentrate on, and then with a really great gift at the end, a fifth point. God promises suffering. Don't be surprised if you suffer. God promises it. God says the suffering is for your benefit. There is suffering that will help you mature. It will help you link in some way to God's love. It is something that will help your character, change your character. So as a person who suffers, we must contemplate, we must meditate, we must pray, as opposed to rail against it. God endured suffering. God endured the suffering of the cross, humiliation, pain. Jesus can identify with our suffering. We have a God that can identify with our suffering. The scripture teaches that suffering is not for your individual punishment. It's not for the punishment of your parents or your parents' parents. That is not the purpose of suffering. That is not why you are suffering now. And here's an amazing fact that we so seldom go to. God has promised that suffering will be finite, that there will be a heaven where we will not suffer. In our scientific, real, show-me-the-goods world, we don't talk about that very much. But it's a clear promise of Scripture as we go through these things together. Let's have a little bit of a disclaimer as we contemplate the idea of suffering. The disclaimer is that we're told very, very little about the origins of suffering. The passage that Mark referred to about Lucifer is kind of hidden away in the Old Testament. It's not really something that is taught over and over and over again. Where did this Satan come from? Where does suffering come from? What? Why? How? We're not told in the Bible. Very, very little about it. We're told how to respond to suffering. So the better question isn't why you're suffering. That's not a very helpful question in most ways theologically. The answer would be, how do you respond to suffering? You'll get more help, I think, there on how you respond to suffering. So just let me reaffirm that the existence of suffering, I hope, will not shake your faith as a Christian. And if it's a stumbling block for you coming to faith, hopefully we'll be able to remove that stumbling block a little together today. I don't have to convince you about suffering. I think you've all seen it. You've had loved ones who've died, or there's been tragedies in your own lives. We had a prayer service a couple of weeks ago where people talked about suffering through cancer and diseases. One of the best examples of suffering is a little friend of mine. He's 18, and he's a lovely little guy. He doesn't even have the dignity of a diagnosis. He's just suffering. We don't really know why. When he was about 2 years old, he demonstrated some spasticity in his lower limbs. He was walking and talking at that time. And since then has had a progressive physical decline. He is now bedbound, cannot walk, cannot move, cannot talk. He's tube-fed. He has a dislocated hip. He has a dislocated elbow. He's on chronic pain medications. Can't sleep very well. And he's suffering. And his family is suffering. And I love his family and I love him. But his suffering screams at me something. It screams, God, either don't you love or don't you have control? Which is it? Tell me, which is it? And his mom says the same thing with passion. It's the wrong question to ask. And we'll go through the right questions together today. Let's pray. Lord, help us to understand that neither of those answers is correct. It's not that you don't love, and it's not that you're not powerful enough. This time here on earth is not just for our pleasure. It's about soul making. I think you've chosen at this point now, since our choice in the Garden of Eden, to let suffering be a key component of soul making. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So, suffering is linked to a potent process of inward change, growth, maturity, and love. That's our take-home message today. Let that roll around your brain for a while. Suffering is linked to a potent process of inward change, growth, maturity, and love. Now, it's easy to say that up here when right now I've taken my pain pills and my hips feel kind of supple and I'm not so sore. But you can get a day when most of us feel pretty cranky because of our suffering. And if you're in the hospital and you've got tubes everywhere, these are glib words. Glib words. But I believe these words are true. They are not meant to be glib this morning. Suffering is linked to a potent process of inward change, growth, maturity, and love. C.S. Lewis said, God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks to us in our conscience, but shouts in our pains, goes on to say that suffering is God's megaphone. Pain is God's megaphone. You are probably like me, your ears are clogged with your self-centeredness at times. They're clogged. And one thing that seems to open them is pain and suffering. I'd like to show you a picture of Brian Sternberg. If you've read if you've read Yancey's book, Where is God When It Hurts, he references Brian Sternberg. Brian Sternberg was the epitome of strength, the 1963 world record holder in the pole vault, regularly breaking records that people thought would never be broken. He had a training accident in 1963, just before the 1964 Olympics, where he was guaranteed to win a gold medal. He broke his neck. He had a permanently damaged spinal cord, and as a consequence developed a centralized pain syndrome where the only thing he could feel was pain. The only thing he could feel was pain. Despite this terrible ordeal, about 3 months after the accident, he had a Christian awakening. Despite saying that my constant pain oscillates from ridiculously high to excruciating, and why won't God answer my prayers, he was led to a different conclusion. He was reading a Look magazine, and on the back surface of the Look magazine, there was this quote, "Having faith is a necessary step towards one of two things. Being healed is one of them. Peace of mind, if healing doesn't come, is the other. Either will suffice." If you're like me, you don't see much healing happening. Lots of prayers. I'm going to a funeral this afternoon. A man who had his leg amputated 2 weeks ago. Suffered for 10 years with being immobile, secondary to multiple strokes. Suffering, I don't have to convince you about suffering. You know that it exists. How do we unpack it together as a Christian community? As people? Your God doesn't love you. Look how much you're suffering. Your God's impotent. Otherwise, why doesn't he fix this stuff? Those are reasonable questions if we're going to be honest with each other. So often, suffering is cited as a major reason why people won't believe in God. Let's look at it in the biblical context. Do you think you have the video, Dan? You don't think we have it? Then I'm not going to show it to you. You'll have to just suffer through it. The reference to the video is we've been going through a video series looking at reasonable objections to the Christian faith. And suffering is one of those reasonable objections to the Christian faith. That false dichotomy that God either doesn't love or doesn't have the strength. It's a false dichotomy. So what causes suffering? Why do we have to suffer? Who causes suffering? Is it fate? Just because the Occupy movement would have us believe that suffering is because of either big government or big corporations. We've seen in numerous parts of the world that suffering is invoked by dictators. I'm going to prompt you to think of suffering being representative of our second order DNA. We talk about mutation. Scientists talk about evolution. But there was a change. There was a change in our DNA in the Garden of Eden when death crept in. It wasn't there. Death crept in. Our second order genetic makeup is a huge cause of suffering. Our choices, ignoring God, withdrawing from God. Selfishness. Many world economists say that we could solve the problems in Somalia with one check. With one check. But we keep the money in our pockets. Family of origin strife, bad karma, bad luck, randomness. Evolution's all about randomness. Does that cause your suffering? Does God cause your suffering? Let's look at suffering as a consequence of the first act of human nature that was disobedient. It's from Romans 5. And it says, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men, because all sinned. Mark referenced it earlier. Adam failed mankind's first test and opened the door to suffering, death, and dying. It was not God's original intent for us. If you look at Genesis 3, verses 7 to 24, just after the fall of Adam, you see suffering creeping in. It wasn't there. But we see shame. We see fear. We see anxiety. We see the sense of withdrawing from God. We see pain. We see death. We see relational difficulties. We see hard labor. None of those things were there. Consequences of the first bad choice. So why do we sin? Why do we have suffering? We are Adam's children. It's now part of our DNA. Unfortunately, a part of our ancestry. Suffering and death were not God's intent for us. They were not God's intent for us. But the cause of much suffering is the legacy of being a human being and a descendant of Adam. So cause one. Cause two are regular choices, the choices of being human. These pictures are graphic, but they're true. We have chosen suffering so many times. Five people died this weekend on our roads in Manitoba, and it will be the same thing every time. Alcohol and speed were considered factors. Choices. Choices. We have freedom, the freedom to be slaves. Freedom to be slaves. And Christ, through Paul, says exactly the opposite. It is for freedom that I have set you free. Why are we still slaves? It just perpetuates our suffering. Galatians 5 talks about this. The deeds of the flesh, the deeds of being human. Sex without love, loneliness, competition, rivalry, factions, it talks about. Divided homes. We can all relate to that. Small-minded pursuits, doing things that don't matter. Brutal tempers, angry people, selfishness, envy. These are our human nature. Idol worship, pursuing demonic religions. evil things. This is our human nature. I don't need to go on for them. Despite the fact that suffering is related to the fall and our ongoing choices, it is linked to this potent process of inward change, growth, and love. Suffering has a value to us, and we'll unpack that today. Christians will unfortunately suffer. It's not a surprise. Romans 5 is speaking to Christian people. Look at the first verses here. It says, "Therefore, since we have been justified," which means made right with God, "through our faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into grace. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." This is speaking to Christian people. It goes on then to say, "We also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us." This is the strong, potent link. Suffering, perseverance, change in character. Ah, I get it. My character probably won't change without suffering. You probably won't get your kitty cat to get off the top counter by saying nice things to her. You probably have to spray her with a water bottle or yell at her or do something. I speak from personal experience. Our character doesn't change very much. We would all just be stuck. Self-centeredness. If it wasn't for suffering. Now, what about my little friend? I'm not sure you've still answered the question about him. I'm not sure we've answered that question. But for us Christians, we need not to rejoice in suffering, not to rejoice because of suffering, but still rejoice in it. Not because of it, but while we're in it. God says you can have joy even though you're suffering. They are not mutually exclusive. And you've seen examples of it. You've seen people who seem to have joy in their heart despite suffering. And those people have inspired you. You have seen them. But suffering clearly is linked to growth. Suffering will come. How will you respond? Suffering is linked to a potent process of inward change, growth, and maturity. So, I can see someone's getting a headache already. It's a bit of a Debbie Downer, I know. So, suffering can happen because of the fall, because of mankind's first step of disobedience. Suffering now happens because of our ongoing bad choices. You know that you've suffered because of your choices. I know I've suffered because of my choices. And I have made people around me suffer by the virtue of my choices. It's not just independent, right? The person who smokes and gets cancer from their smoking, direct link. Well, it's just me. I'm just harming myself. Well, what about your kids? What about your brother, your sister? What about everybody else who loves you? They're going to suffer with you. They're going to be at your bedside when you're dying. Suffering can also come at the hand of Satan. We don't talk about Satan very much. We want to keep him swept under the rug. But unfortunately, Christ taught about him. He tempted Christ himself. This thorn in the flesh idea was taught about by Paul. God allows, it says in this verse we're going to look at, Satan to cause us to suffer. Why? To change our character. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 12. Paul says, "To keep me from becoming conceited, because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given to me a thorn in my flesh, suffering. A messenger of Satan to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord, 'Take it away from me.' But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Maybe an answer is creeping in from my little friend with the dislocated hip. the dislocated elbow, the feeding tube. Maybe there's an answer creeping in. Ah, he doesn't have to be all strong and go into the gym. And wow, God's strength can be made perfect through his weakness. We're so independent. We're so look at me. Wow, maybe my little friend is teaching us some lessons. You watch his parents work with him, love him. That's inspiring. That's inspiring. So Satan caused Paul to suffer. We're told it, clear as day. Paul said, stop it. God said, no. Is that an answer to prayer? You bet it was. The answer was no. Why? To change Paul's character. That's what Paul says, because I was going to become conceited. To change my character, your character, my character. Suffering can change us. It's unfortunately the strong change agent in our world. It's also evident that God causes suffering. It's not just Satan. We can find numerous evidences of this in Scripture, in relationship to Job, in relationship to Joseph, in relationship to Paul himself, and clearly in relationship to Jesus Christ. There was suffering that unfortunately was the path. If you read Lamentations, full of suffering, and the prophet of Lamentations thought it was coming from God. Now, it was tied to sin, but clearly it's this idea that God can cause us to suffer. It's not as punishment for your sins. It's not to get back at you. Why do we suffer? It's a potent process of inward change, maturity, and love. How we respond is one thing. Do not be shocked that you suffer or that those around you suffer. And suffering is not ever really good, but it can have a potent process for us. James 1:2-4 says this, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. There's that word again. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature. There's that word again. And complete, not lacking anything. Trials of suffering, if we persevere through them, are part of our journey. Maturity requires these trials. And again, if you're athletic, think of a coach pushing someone. Do you think the person who won the marathon's lungs weren't burning week after week in training? Do you think the person's muscles weren't just aching who won the powerlifting competition weeks after weeks of training? To be complete, to be the most complete, ultimately there had to be suffering along the way. So God's idea of sending us suffering, it's about soul making. It's about making your soul complete. It's not about making your body complete or perfect or painless. It's about soul making. So Christians will suffer in circumstances, even though at peace with God and declared right by him. That chapter of Romans began with you the justified. You now at peace with God. You will suffer. And it teaches us that word perseverance, sticking through it. Sticking through it. Can the suffering of Jesus teach us anything? Well, of course it can. It teaches us that suffering is part of that journey. It was part of his journey. It was part of his way of being obedient to God. Adam failed the test. Jesus didn't. And as Jesus succeeded through his test, he demonstrated really to us that suffering will be part of our journey, but it can be a journey to completeness. And in fact, something even more amazing than that. Romans 5 goes on to say, for if by the trespass of one man, Adam, death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus? He paid the price on the cross. Didn't say, I will take away suffering, but said, it is through suffering we will become whole again. You have that invitation. The other piece of good news, friends, is that suffering is finite. Suffering is finite. 2 Corinthians 4 says, these troubles and suffering of ours are, after all, quite small and won't last very long. The troubles will soon be over, but the joys to come will last forever. Suffering is finite. This is not polite cocktail chatter where we're talking about heaven and hell and the devil and suffering. But for you folks who are God's people out there in the world where people will make fun of you for these ideas, I hope this can give you some comfort. That suffering is not a surprise. It was promised. In this world you will have trouble from the lips of the Master himself. It's not a surprise. Don't let it throw you off track. And if you're in pain, we want to help you. If you're suffering, that's our role with each other. It shouldn't be a surprise. It shouldn't make you think, well, God, are you either not strong enough or not caring? It's neither. It's saying, I know you humans, and you probably won't change much in terms of the character I'm looking for, in terms of soul making, without this unfortunate ingredient. This is a beautiful way I'm going to end. George MacDonald wrote the following. The Lord has come to wipe away our tears. He is doing it. He will have it done as soon as he can. And until he can, he would have them flow without bitterness. To which end he tells us that it is a blessed thing to mourn, because that comfort is on its way. Accept his comfort now, and so prepare for the comfort at hand. He wants to wipe away your tears. He can see them. Scripture says over and over, he hears your cries. And we will all cry. Don't be surprised. But it shouldn't make you think, oh, well, God, you got nothing. You got nothing for me. It should really make you think the opposite. What have you got for me? What is it you're looking for in my character? It's glib to say to people in the hospital, well, what's God trying to teach you? I would suggest we don't go there. But I would suggest you go to the hospital and hold that person's hand and listen and tell them that you love them and that they matter. Be careful with the glib comments that sermons like this might bring to mind. It is a potent process, meaning a tough process we go through. But it's not really for us to talk about. It's between the person and God, perhaps you and God. It's a great question to ask when you are suffering. It's almost like a little suffering checklist. But I don't want suffering to drive you away from God. I think what this is telling us is that suffering can draw us closer to God. I think that's what it's telling us. So, our 5 points. God promises suffering. Don't be surprised. God says it is ultimately for your character change that he allows it, that you might be more like him, that Christ himself endured terrible suffering and can relate to you. He can relate to you. It's not punishment for you or your loved ones. And the good news is that we're told it's finite. We will have our tears wiped away. Let's pray. Lord, I pray for my little friend. I pray you would help him know that you love him, despite his broken body. I would pray you would help his folks know that you love them and him, and that this is not because of their sin or anybody else's sin, with the exception of Adam's. That it all changed. Our DNA actually changed that day. And we all have bodies that don't work the way you wanted them to as a consequence. All of us. Help us to let suffering not drive us from you, but drive us to you. Help us not to apologize for you, Lord. I would pray for the suffering. I would pray for the suffering, Lord. Really, all of us in some way. We might be able to see past it and see towards your open arms and an eternity where it's gone. Thank you, Lord. Amen.